Hello again, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Welcome to the show. On behalf of Disciple of City, I'm Todd Carlton, and this is the Toddcast. Friends, this is the place where we hear testimonies from everyday people, from sports figures, from musicians, celebrities, where we capture their story of how Jesus became real to them and how they're living that out today. We are also currently in the middle of the 100K harvest, where we are desiring to see 100,000 Canadians have a face-to-face gospel encounter this year across Canada. For more information on that, you can check out the website 100kharvest.ca. You can also look at our website discipleofcity.ca and find out where there are city leaders near you doing outreach events that you can participate in. Friends, my guest today grew up in Latvia. He moved with his family to Canada, and he is currently living in Grimsby, which is just outside of the Hammer, Hamilton, Ontario. He's part of an outreach and equipping ministry, Love on Hamilton, Love on the World. He's doing festivals. There's all kinds of things going on. And he is part of E3 Ministries. Please welcome Daniel Zidens.
What's up, guys?
Hey, bro.
Happy to be here.
How you doing?
Good. I love that intro, man. That was awesome. Hey, I feel pumped up.
Did I get the last name right? That's the question.
It was very close. It was good, actually. I approve of that.
I meant to ask you just before we hopped on, just to clarify. How close? Say it proper.
It was good. So, yeah, the English way of saying it is Zidens, but then there's the Latvian version, which is Ziedinch. And there's a whole story in that, too, because actually, originally, we had an H at the end of our last name, and somehow that H is now removed. Don't ask me how that happened, but...
Okay, so I really blew it, because I really, like, respect culture and would have liked to have said it properly, culturally sound. So, we got talking about the 100K, and it distracted me from...
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's a good excuse. I like it.
Man, thanks for coming on today. It's great. You know, we've known each other for a little bit and met and stuff, but I've never really got to sit down with you and hear your total testimony. So I'm pretty super stoked about that. And that was just a few things, but just looking at your profile, so many things to go through, so many different websites and ministry things that you're doing, and they probably all tie in together maybe, but so curious to explore that. But bro, Latvia. How old were you when you came? Like, talk about what life was like in Latvia, if you remember.
Actually, so there's a little bit of a correction there, actually. So I was actually the only person in my family born in Canada.
Okay.
So what's crazy is I've actually never been to Latvia myself.
But okay, let's redo the whole thing.
Yeah, let's do it. No, I'm just kidding. It's all good. So my whole family actually was obviously born and raised in Latvia. And at the time, they're kind of going through a lot of craziness. I think the Soviet Union fell. They're going through communism. And so my family was actually looking to escape the country. And what's wild is they actually found somebody who forged papers that said that we were a Jewish family, even though we're not, because for whatever reason, they were letting Jewish people out of the country. And so that was a complete miracle. They found somebody, you know, we came in, you know, presenting ourselves as a Jewish family, and they let us leave the country. And they would only let you take whatever is like the clothes on your back, no luggage, no bags, no nothing. So my family escaped from the country just with the clothes on the back, and started literally with nothing. And so of all places, they chose Canada, Toronto. And that's where I was born and raised, in Canada, Toronto. And my family literally started from absolutely zero. They're actually sleeping on newspapers. Really, the churches really helped us out too, you know, to help, you know, get us on our feet. And that's kind of the origin stories of Latvia, my family coming from there. And I do speak the language. They do have a language called Latvian that I can speak. And actually, what's interesting that we're talking about this is recently I've been having a heart to go to Latvia on a mission trip. So hopefully we'll see what happens in the future. But yeah, that's kind of the Latvian story there.
Bro, what was that? What time frame is that they came over?
Yeah, I think that would be 89, 90 that they came over. And so I was born in 91.
So they were not letting people leave the country? Like you couldn't you couldn't leave the country at that time?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So it was like, I think they wanted to take my oldest brother into the army. And so that was kind of something that my family just wanted to escape from. A lot of poverty and, you know, they're going through the communism. And so I think it was just the fact that they didn't like the Jewish culture or whatever. So they let them escape. And that's how they got the forged papers that said that we were. And again, they only let whatever you're wearing on your back. So my parents were saying that they layered up my brothers. I have two brothers and a sister. And so they layered up in multiple layers of T-shirts, sweaters, jackets, as much as they could, because it was whatever that you're wearing that you could take with you. And they were just sweating. But that's all they had when they came to Canada.
That's fascinating. You know, it's like I never knew that about... Mm-hmm. You know, it's just so fascinating of how oblivious we are to how things are oftentimes in other parts of the world.
Yeah.
You know, if our media is not reporting it, or, you know, you're not sort of searching and digging for what's going on around the world, you would never expect that, especially at that time. So like true. When you're first telling that story, I don't know, I'm thinking way earlier than 1990. Yeah. That's crazy, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
That's wild.
So
wild.
How long, so you're born in Toronto.
Yes.
And how long were they literally on the streets? Cause that's quite different from how it is for most, if you're immigrating here now.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Apparently. So yeah, it was, so my oldest brother and my sister definitely remembered that time more clearly. Obviously that's when I was just born. So I don't remember too much myself of like living in the streets. But yeah, it was a huge struggle because actually my parents didn't speak English very well. So that was like a huge struggle on just trying to find work, trying to find a job, trying to provide. So, you know, really it was a grind, you know, just to kind of get our feet on the ground. Right. So my whole family, we actually started work really early. And what's crazy is like, as my family is on the streets, you know, a lot of churches really helped provide for us, right? And this is a crazy full circle thing that I now realize that, you know, we'll talk about what we kind of do in our ministry right now, that we help people on the streets in the same situation that my family was in. So it's just amazing how God made this full circle story in my life and my family's life, which is just crazy. He always provides and makes a way. So, but yeah, we all had to start work really early. And what's wild about my story is I actually started working full time when I was 12 years old.
I hear you were you were as tall as you are now at 12.
I was pretty tall. Exactly. So that's what really helped me get away with it. Because at work, I was actually telling people I'm 18 years old and I have 2 years experience in carpentry. So I would tell that to people, and I was living this double life, you know, when I was 12, 13, 14, 15. I was always telling people at work, no, I'm 18 years old. And I just kept being that age all those years for 6 years straight.
So, dude, you didn't go to school?
No. Yeah, I had to, you know, this was the crazy part is, you know, it wasn't my choice, but it was one of those things where, you know, we had to kind of provide for our family to kind of really, again, just work and provide. And so, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that is crazy. So this is all in Toronto. How long were you? Well, first of all, two questions kind of. Were your family Christian? Mm-hmm. Or was it just that the church was, they were accepting help from the church, but they're Christian?
Yeah. Yeah. So actually, yeah, my whole family, praise God. We always follow the Lord. You know, I was raised in a Christian family. And so that's what's so amazing. They've had so many miracle stories of how God provided for us. Like even just one quick one was they're staying in a place, an apartment with our whole family. And the table was empty and all they had was just water. And my parents said, okay, we're going to say grace. We're going to say, thank you, Jesus, for this water. The fact that we have this on the table, we're so blessed to have this. And so they said grace. As soon as they said amen, a knock on the door. And it's the next door neighbor. And this lady shows a bag full of Swiss Chalet that says, hey, this sounds crazy, but we have all these extra food that we're not going to eat. Would you guys want some? Wow. And we're like, oh, my goodness, absolutely. Right. And so it just really shows how God provides even in the lowest moments. And it's fun little fact, actually. We've been a huge fan of Swiss Chalet ever since then, because we always remember that story of God providing.
That's awesome. Yeah. How long were you guys, how long was your family on the street before they had some kind of, you know, some kind of a place to stay? Or did people start taking you guys in and giving you a roof and stuff? Or
yeah, I think it was pretty quick, because my family's really, you know, we're all hard workers. So we're not the type to kind of have that victim mentality and just kind of linger into that, you know, that identity of, you know, not having anything. So I know my parents and my siblings really worked really hard, you know, to kind of make, just the ends meet and find a place to stay. So I think it was pretty quick. And when I was raising kids, I remember always being in a place and having food and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
So when you were 12, pretending to be 18, working construction.
Yes. Yeah.
you guys were settled at that point, I guess.
Exactly.
Just having to make ends meet.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, it's crazy, because a lot of kids at that time, obviously you're at the playground playing with your friends and all this kind of stuff, and here I am waking up at 5 a.m. every single day going to work. And it was very difficult at the start, because obviously you're looking at everybody else's lifestyle and they're going to school, they're having fun, and here you are just slaving away in construction every single day nonstop, and you're just realizing this is my life, right? And so it built a lot of really good qualities, in the sense that I had to mature really quickly. And so I had to develop a lot of mature, you know, characteristics that have helped me throughout my life. It built some bad ones as well, because again, I was living that double life. You know, I was always, there was a lot of strategies that I had to use to kind of get away with working at that young age, in the sense that I was hiding a lot. I was pretending a lot, you know, trying to pretend like I know what I'm doing, even though I don't know what I'm doing. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff. But man, I could just tell you, there's been so many amazing testimonies of how God, you know, gave me the strength, the energy to get through it all. And another wild thing too, is like, while I was working construction full time, I would always daydream about one day, you know, maybe doing ministry stuff, meeting this amazing girl, and that we would start evangelizing on the streets. And I remember daydreaming all of those things. And it wasn't until recently that I'm like looking at my life right now and I'm just going, wow, praise God. I'm literally living the daydreams that I had when I was at that age, working away, swinging a hammer.
Yeah.
And praise God.
So I imagine it did live in that double life, being young, mm-hmm. being exposed to the adults in that mm-hmm. construction business and stuff like that. Obviously it was, like you said, at character building, but it must have played on you mentally. Was there ever a time where, like, were you always just hardwired and rooted in the Lord, or were there times in that where you drifted at all, or what was your spiritual self like during that time of, I don't want to use the word deception, but I mean,
yeah,
you know, deception for survival, right? Essentially, exactly. Is what you were doing. But how did that play on you spiritually, your soul?
Yeah, that's a really good question, man. So thankfully, my parents really instilled just like that fear of the Lord in us, that reality that God is real, and that we should be living for Him every single day. And so I knew that at a very young age. And obviously, I have a testimony too of how I really kind of came to that personal revelation with God and just received Him, you know, personally, because that's so important to you, right? Because some people who are raised in the Christian family, sometimes you're in the faith just because your family is, right? But at some point it needs to become your personal decision. And so I had that season. But when I was working at this young age, you know, I was connected with the Lord, but it was very difficult. And I remember at times where, you know, I was even just like, it was never, I don't want to say like suicidal thoughts, because I knew, you know, where that kind of leads and that kind of darkness. But I was actually praying for God to return, because I was down to go to heaven sooner. Right. That's kind of, you know, because it was so difficult and, you know, I was, you know, just being drained every single day coming back from work. And I just thought, is this all there is to life? Going to work every day, waking up, coming back, and all you have time for is eating dinner, taking a shower, go to sleep, and there's the next day, right? And so I remember just at work, just praying, Lord, please just take me. I'm good to go. And so it was definitely a struggle, but I saw his goodness and faithfulness throughout the whole process of working construction, in the sense that he just protected me from getting caught, basically, and protected my family, because I knew the consequences if somebody found out that, you know, I was working at that age for my family and for my parents. So I was just praying every day, just Holy Spirit, keep me invisible from the right people and just help me to get through this process to, you know, help provide for my family. So yeah, just it was amazing.
That's a pretty heavy thought, though. I'm ready to go.
Yes.
As a teenager?
Yep.
That's pretty heavy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your brothers and sister, one brother, one sister, you said, right?
Yeah, two brothers and a sister.
Two brothers and a sister. Brothers. So they were working too and
yep.
doing all that?
Yeah. Yeah. I was working with both my brothers, and yeah, we worked together for about, I'd say, maybe 8-9 years together. Wow. And yeah, we would always just drive to work together in a small little truck where it's just the three seats, and I'd just be squished in between my two brothers. And that's the way we drive to work every day.
Sitting on a cooler, or there was a seat for you?
There was a little seat, but it's kind of like a little kid seat. So I didn't fit too well on that.
Yeah. I'm only laughing because I grew up in Toronto. I can see it. Like you say it, I can picture it in my mind, right?
Yeah.
So, dude, coming out of that, take us. You went on a mission trip that were, you know, I might be jumping way ahead here, but you went on a mission trip with your now wife.
Yeah,
and maybe you were married at the time. I don't know, but just take us out of that. You guys, obviously, your family. You know, you guys all worked hard and got to where you are all now.
Yeah.
But what's this mission trip that I hear that was pretty instrumental in you? And was that when you met Katie, or you guys were married already? Or?
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of the origin story of our ministry, basically. And it's interesting because my wife, Katie, and myself, we had the same kind of story when it came to our spiritual walk, in the sense that, you know, it felt a little bit more just the tradition of just going to church, and it's a once a week thing, and then the rest of the week we're just doing work and doing our own thing, right? And so that's kind of all it ever felt like. And then it was actually Katie that went on the trip first. So she went by herself to Guatemala, and she had incredible experience, in the sense that this was her first time really seeing healings right in front of her, seeing people get deliverance right in front of her. She saw a lady who was bent over for 12 years who couldn't stand straight. All of a sudden, her spine just started cracking and aligning up. And so she saw that right in front of her, and so many other amazing miracles in Guatemala. And so her question was like, why is this not happening in Hamilton where we live, right? It's happening in Guatemala, but can it happen, you know, locally where we live? And so when she came back from that trip, she was actually working in Harvey's at the time. So she's sharing with all her coworkers, like all the amazing miracles and all the amazing things. And they're kind of like looking at her, but they know that she's, you know, she's a normal person. They've worked with her for years. And this girl actually burns her hands flipping burgers at Harvey's. And so she stretches it out to Katie, you know, after sharing all these testimonies, like, can you do something about this? So Katie's like, yeah, in Jesus' name, we command the burn to go, all the pain to go in Jesus' name. And right away, the girl's face was just shocked, like, wow, the pain went. There was no burn. Everything was good.
Amen.
And that was actually her last day at Harvey's. So she finished off on a bang.
Wow, that's amazing.
And so, yeah, from there, that's kind of around the time that I actually met Katie, and we were just friends at that time. And so she decided to go out on the streets and actually live this out. We started reading the book of Acts and seeing what the disciples were doing. And we're like, wow, okay, maybe we can be the ones that God uses to do this. And that was kind of like the first healing to show us that, you know, God can use someone like us, me working full-time construction, my wife who is a full-time wedding photographer. And so that was the revelation that God is calling all of us to be used by him. So we just hit the streets and literally just started praying for people. And we didn't have too much experience. So one of the things we just focused on was healing. We would run up to people in wheelchairs, crutches, anybody with a cast or anything. We would just run to them and pray for healing. And we saw incredible miracles. And then we just kept going. and kept going and kept going every single week. And it just grew and we learned so much. And then Katie and I ended up getting engaged. Then we got married, and then and everything just expanded ever since then. So
that's a big encouragement to people there, dude, because a lot of times I've been, you know, people go out and pray for people and stuff. And when you engage people in talking, and they might have pain that you can't see and they pray for. But to literally go after people in wheelchairs and stuff is bold, which is good because that's what we're commanded to do. That is the book of Acts, right? So that is bold. So did you guys go on a mission trip together after that?
Well, and then after, I actually went by myself to the exact same trip to Guatemala. And then so it was actually very soon after that. And I got fired up, too. I saw incredible miracles. I actually saw somebody who was completely blind, got their vision completely restored.
Wow.
And I saw it all happen in front of my eyes, and just the reaction and him just crying and freaking out. And so I just saw like the realness of it. So that fired me up, too. And then, you know, coming back to Hamilton, we've seen many miracles. Actually, another really cool one that I saw in front of us was actually a guy with like a tumor that was like about an inch out of his neck. And he came to us and he was kind of really worried that this is possibly cancerous and he's got to get surgery and all this kind of stuff. We're like, hey, no problem. Just put our hands and just said, in Jesus' name, we command this tumor to go. Amen. As soon as the hand was released, the tumor was completely gone. It was just flat. So it was like a visual, tangible healing that you could see.
Come on.
And of course, this guy was freaking out. He's like, what did you guys do? Where did it go? And then we're also freaking out too, right? We're believing for it, but you're still surprised at the same time, right? You're just like, I can't believe that just happened. And so, yeah, just shared the gospel with him. And yeah, it's been amazing.
It's, you know, for me, one of the things that encouraged me to begin to pray for the stuff that you're talking about and to see those things happening is hearing the testimony of people who say it matter of factly, right? Like not saying it in arrogance, not saying it with even a hint of doubt in them, but just like matter of factly, this is what we saw. It's so, so fascinating. What was the Guatemala trip like? What were you? My wife went to Guatemala too when she was younger for a ministry trip. I think they were building houses and stuff. What exactly were you guys doing down there?
Yeah. So the reason why I really loved this trip was it was a very evangelistic focused. It was pretty intense, like in the sense of, you know, we would go and hit the streets. We would go to the bars. The women would actually go to the brothels and actually pray for the women. The guys would actually go and evangelize to the pimps and all the people working at, and even at the bar. So it was just very intense one-on-one sharing the gospel, praying for the sick. And then later on, we would invite these people to the church service and then share our testimony, share the gospel, continue to pray for them. So it was very evangelistic focused mission trip that really stretched you. It pushed you into your uncomfort zone because before this, I went to Dominican and it was like a building, you know, helping, you know, put together houses and all that kind of stuff. And it felt to me as a construction worker, it felt pretty comfortable. Right. This is my zone. I'm happy to help out in this area. I didn't feel very stretched. Whereas when I went to Guatemala, it was like, all right, there's the bar. Go inside and start sharing the gospel. But man, sometimes we need those kind of stretching because that's what really helps us grow. So, and that's why this trip was very impactful for both of us.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. So dude, what, take us to the beginning of some of these ministries that you've have going on. What was the, obviously you guys started going out together, right?
Yeah.
Where was the birth, if you will, of what is now Love on Hamilton or whatever one of these was sort of the first one?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was actually, Katie came up with the name and it was actually basically the week that she quit Harvey's. So right around the time of that testimony where that girl's hand got healed from the burn, we just, she created a Facebook group. Everything was pretty much most of the visions that we've pursued, including the Jesus Festival event that we'll maybe share about. It all started with very humble beginnings, right? We never really had this crazy vision of what it could be, but we just had that intentionality and just availability to go, all right, Lord, we're just going to do this. And so literally we called the group Love on Hamilton, and it just consisted with me, Katie, and maybe one or two other people that would hit the streets every week. And we would just call it Love on Hamilton because we just felt like, hey, God is love. You know, we're sharing the gospel of love, and then we're doing it on Hamilton. So we're just, hey, we're going to cover Hamilton. And that we just kept going. And so it was really the biggest thing was the consistency, right? A lot of times nobody would show up, and, you know, it felt like, oh, nobody's really interested in this. It didn't seem like a big thing, but we just kept going and being consistent every single week. And then it just kept growing. And then all these visions just kind of turned into like a ministry, basically.
That's so important, too. So anybody listening that's involved in some kind of an outreach, right, just be encouraged. Just keep going. You just got to keep going. Right? Jesus started with 12. So however many you are, there's still a need, and great things happen. And I don't know for you, but oftentimes I find that bigger, crazy God things happen when there's nobody there to see it. Right.
Totally. Yes. It's so true.
So that was the birth on Love on Hamilton. So what came next? Love on the World or E3?
Yes. Yeah. So then it was, I just kind of had Love on Hamilton started growing. More people started coming out, hearing about all the amazing testimonies. I was like, wow, this is just so awesome. Like, people are loving it and sharing it with their churches. And then they invite their friends out. And we saw so many miracles, people coming to Christ and getting baptized as well. We would baptize people in the fountains in Hamilton.
That's awesome.
And yeah, it was just like in the middle of the streets, basically some of the main fountains in Hamilton. And somebody was like, hey, I want to get baptized. We're like, perfect. We can baptize you in this fountain. It's right there. We even had a guy that he had like a mobile baptism tank in his van. So he'd fill it up with water. He'd pull up to the people. So there's no excuses for anybody, because they're like, we could bring it right to you. So, and then from there, I just felt in my heart, like, I feel like this, you know, I really believe faith is contagious, right? When people start seeing what is going on, they want to start doing it in their cities. And that's what I started hearing. People was like, man, we should do this in Brampton. Man, we should do this in Kitchener. You know, we should do this in this area. And so that's kind of where the idea of Love on the World started. And really, it was just something that I felt in my heart to start out of faith, right? It wasn't really a necessary thing to start, but I just kind of did it out of faith to say, one day I envision outreach groups all around the world preaching the gospel everywhere. And so because of that, I just took that step of faith and just came up with that name. And then ever since then, we've been having Love on groups starting in many different cities, including Kitchener. We got Brampton. We had Hagersville. Different areas, Love on Moncton, and it's starting to grow more and more. So
yeah, with our friend, good friend there, Paul Pattison, Pastor Paul.
Yes,
Pattison.
Exactly. Spencer. The legend himself.
He is a legend. So it was the intent of Love on the World just like a landing place or a place to be resourced and encouraged to help people birth these things?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's still, I'm still in the middle of like really working it out. And I really want to, you know, develop a process where it makes it easy for people to start groups. Because I really see, I think we were talking before this call, people tend to overcomplicate certain things, right? Where, you know, oh, I need to have a charitable status. I need to do this. I need, you know, board of directors and this and that. And I just kind of want to explain to people and show people how simple it is and how big things can grow with just a small vision, right? I always just say, never doubt what God can do with a small seed sown, right? And it's just out of that faithfulness, that intentionality and availability. So that's kind of what I want to direct Love on the World to, is giving people the encouragement to start a group in their own city and showing them how simple it is, right? It's literally just picking a day, picking a time, a location, and let's just go and be obedient and ask the Holy Spirit to use you, and you'll just be amazed. And it's as simple as that.
Yeah. And so then you guys became part of E3 Ministries. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, and that's an interesting story too.
Yeah, let's hear that story. And E3 friends listening, there's been other guests on the show that are involved in E3 and different aspects of ministry. And of course, Jeremy Dorton, The director of E3 Ministries, who has a fantastic story too. Back in season one, his story is really powerful. But
yeah,
tell us the story of how you guys got connected with them.
Yeah, so actually, I got connected first with a guy named Marcel Knott, and he joined E3 first. And I actually met him. I was working as like a freelance carpenter, and I was hopping around at different job sites. And then I got sent to this one job site called Youth for Christ Center, and it was in Waterdown. And so it's funny, I got sent there because the supervisor actually fired the first three carpenters because they couldn't do what he wanted them to do. They weren't experienced enough, right? So they sent me down there, and I was like, oh man, I found that out. I was like, oh. And then I walked in the trailer, and he was like so disappointed because I do have a younger looking face, and I look more unexperienced than most people because, you know, but at the same time, he doesn't know that I started since I was 12.
Right. Yeah. Little does he know. You've been child labor.
Exactly. He didn't know that story. So, and then he just gave me the drawings. He's like, all right. He's like, I just fired three people. You're probably going to be the next one, but here's the drawings. Here's what I need you to do, and go for it. And then, so it's funny enough, actually, this guy named Marcel was running that project. Like, he was running that ministry, this Youth for Christ ministry. And so we connected, and this is a time we're doing Love on Hamilton. So we invited him out to Love on Hamilton. So it's just crazy how we connected with him on that job. Like, what are the chances of me being the carpenter there, you know, getting connected on that job site, and then all of a sudden we become good friends. And so he joined E3, and he just absolutely loved it. And I've always heard good things about it, and just the amazing things that God is doing through that ministry. And what's interesting is I then got into marketing around that time. So I actually quit construction around like COVID time. I felt the Lord tell me to quit my job and go full time into business. And it was a huge leap of faith because I didn't have anything going at that time, but I just had to obey. And I didn't know that COVID was going to shut everything down. So it was just the perfect timing. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will give us that small, still voice, and we just got to go for it. And so after that, I started my own marketing agency, and it grew massively very quickly because it was at the right time, the right season to do it. And what's interesting is after that whole marketing thing, the agency scaled for about 2 years. We had like over 35 people working for us, hundreds of clients. Wow. This agency just blew up. But what was crazy is we actually grew too quickly that it just collapsed very quickly because we couldn't handle all of the clients and all the stuff that was happening. So it got shut down. We had to close it up because, yeah, just a lot of different things were happening. But I was like, okay, I feel like this is, for some reason, I felt a peace about it because I know that God wanted me to transition more into ministry and kind of helping out churches. So originally I reached out to E3 as a business proposition, and I just wanted to help them with their marketing. And so I wanted to help them with their social media, their marketing. And so this was my idea. I was like, okay, I'm going to start back into marketing, but I'm going to help ministries. I'm going to help churches. And so I hop on the call with E3, and Jeremy Dorton is the one that that called me. And I just said, look, this is how much I would, you know, charge. This is kind of what I would do for you guys. And what's so crazy, that conversation went on for probably an hour and a half. And it went from a business proposition to, have you guys ever thought about, you know, being local missionaries and really focusing on that? So the call just completely did a 180, and
Jeremy, attaboy.
Yeah. Yeah. But man, it's been so, so amazing to be part of such a incredible team. And ever since then, like since we've joined up with E3, obviously there was a huge period of them, you know, interviewing us, training us, and getting us onboarded. But since then, it's just been such an awesome ministry to be a part of. So, yeah.
And dude, in a nutshell, just for any new listeners that haven't heard some of the other ones, just what does E3 stand for? And just in a nutshell, what is that ministry?
Yeah. So it's equip, evangelize, and establish. And so when I even heard that, I was like, this is exactly what we want to focus on, right? We're passionate about equipping believers. So we just kind of started getting into going to churches, training tools, and sharing and equipping believers on how to evangelize, how to share the gospel. And then at that time, obviously, we've been huge, huge passion for evangelism, sharing the gospel ourselves. And then obviously establishing, and this was also the season where we were getting into getting better at discipleship, right? And I think anybody in any ministry or evangelistic ministry knows that that's probably the most difficult part. It's the most time consuming, but it's the most important part, right? When you bring somebody to Christ, is really take the time to disciple them, equip them. And so, yeah, E3 also focuses on church planting. That's how, you know, they started in the States. And they also, that's a big part of our hearts, is planting churches, whether it's, you know, physical buildings or in homes, because, yeah, there's so much power in coming together and, you know, growing together as brothers and sisters of Christ. So, yeah, that's basically what the ministry is in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's great. And great people. Great people mm-hmm. involved in that, and really helpful in making things grow for the kingdom, eh?
Oh, yeah.
And you know, giving a place for people like you to, mm-hmm. you know, how you were talking earlier about, oh, people think that you got to get a board and you got to do all this stuff. And well, you could if you're going to grow into an independent ministry. But E3 is an example of something that can, yes. that can resource you, give you financial accountability for fundraising, right? And to do the stuff that you're doing, and
yes,
and yeah. lend credibility to what you're doing too, like an accountability, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
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 So Jesus Festival, tell us about that. Yeah. Where did that come from? What did that look like?
Yeah. So again, like I was saying, a lot of things start with just very, very humble beginnings and just like a little small seed sown. And what's interesting about this story is actually, we actually went out to a pagan festival to go evangelize, and it was happening at Gage Park.
Was it actually called Pagan Festival?
It's literally Seriously? What the name is. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I thought you were kidding.
No, it's people are not hiding anything anymore. It's we actually, till this day, we go to witch conventions. We go to all kinds of, festivals, conventions, and that, because we believe that we're like the only ones that go that are believers, because when you bring the light in those dark places, you start to see amazing things. We've seen people come yeah. to Christ in these events and just experience God. And these people, they're searching for something, right? It's very new agey and spiritual, and they're trying to find something, but they're looking in the wrong way, and yeah. the enemy's deceiving them, right? And so we're like, these are the people that will never step foot in a church. Right?
But they're
so,
spiritually open. Hey,
exactly. So we go there and we bring the gospel. Right. And there's different ways that you could do it. Sometimes you got to be a little bit more strategic. Right. So that you can last longer at the event. You don't get kicked out, which we have been before for sure. But yeah, it was actually at Gage Park. And so we went to it was literally called the Pagan Festival to evangelize. And that's kind of where the idea stemmed from. We're like, why isn't there a Jesus Festival here, right? God is doing amazing things in the city of Hamilton. There's so many different ministries that are really just getting on fire for evangelism and so many amazing things. And we're like, this would be so cool just to celebrate in Hamilton and call something the Jesus Festival, bring everybody together. But originally we were just thinking like, let's just do like a barbecue and that's about it. And just invite some churches down and have a fun little picnic. And one thing led to another. And obviously, just sometimes when you give God your small vision, your small yes, he just expands the vision so much more than you can imagine. And he's really looking for that faithfulness. And so, Amen. Yeah, just so many stories how, yeah, we connected with Let Us Worship. They came down on the Friday. It landed on the perfect day, perfect time when he was coming to Canada. And so we had thousands of people come out, actually wearing the shirt here where you see the band shell, and thousands of people at the stage. And it was just so cool. There's been so many testimonies, but my favorite part was just seeing hundreds of people at the altar on their knees just crying out to the Lord in repentance. People were throwing their drugs on stage just out of repentance, and so many people got baptized and lives changed, and it was just amazing. So yeah, we're doing it again this year, and that's a little story.
So now this year, but that's not tied in with Let Us Worship Jesus Festival.
Exactly. Not this year.
Yeah.
So this year we're actually having an amazing ministry called Friday Night Prayer. And so they really have a heart for Hamilton. They do worship nights every Friday. And so they're going to be hopping on the Friday nights at Jesus Festival and doing an amazing worship set. And then on the Saturday, which is September 6th, so the event's September 5th and 6th. And then on 6th, we're going to have the festival. So there's going to be free food, food trucks, worship, people preaching the gospel. And then, of course, we're going to have an evangelism team just going out, spreading across the city, and it's going to be awesome.
Amen. That's so good. Yeah. So good. So, dude, what, in addition to that, what else is going on with you in the next little bit? Like, are you still, so you guys have a kid now, by the way. Yes. Congratulations on that. That's
thank you,
awesome.
Thank you.
New life. Are you still doing the marketing thing? Are you just strictly doing ministry? Are you doing a bit of both? What's going on right now?
Yeah, so I'm right now I'm doing a bit of both. And so my wife and I, we've just been really praying the season on which direction to really focus on. So we've been kind of going through a little bit transitioning in our focus. But what's cool is actually Katie's going on her first mission trip in over 10 years now. She's going to Prague with the E3 team, and they're going to be sending 25 people down there for the 1 million month events, where the goal is for 1 million salvations to happen in Europe in a month. And so it's going to be awesome. She's so pumped for that. But yeah, right now we're just really focusing on expanding. You know, this is something that we feel in our hearts, is just to really push back the darkness and really, you know, advance God's kingdom as much as we can in these days. And we're starting to see people so fired up. And so we just want to continue to grow Love on Hamilton, continue to expand in different cities with Love on the World. And I think if you looked at the list, we're a part of so many different ministries. We really believe in just like collaboration, like you were saying. There's a ministry, they're doing something, you know, if you have the skills to help them and support them. So I'll oftentimes help people with their marketing and maybe, you know, launch some ads for them and build some creatives and help them design their website. And yeah, we just believe that we're all in this together, right? So we collaborate a lot with many different ministries, and yeah, we just like to be a part of whatever God is doing in this area. So,
amen. Yeah. Well, first off, friends listening, the million month that is happening, that is part of Awakening Europe.
Yeah.
Ben Fitzgerald is fronting that up, and that is happening. So that is happening in 25 different countries. Isn't that right, Daniel?
Yes.
25 different countries in Europe in a couple of weeks.
Yep. Yeah, it's coming up a couple of weeks. Yeah, coming I think up. 2 weeks from now it starts. Yeah.
So Awakening Europe, you can look that up, search that up, and find out more information if you're curious about that. And speaking of collaboration, Daniel, you're collaborating with us here at Disciples City and heaps of other ministries across the country for the 100K Harvest. And you are... you and Katie are city leaders for Hamilton, which is essentially you're doing what you're doing. And again, just like you say, collaboration, just helping bring more people into the goodness and glory of what you guys are seeing.
Exactly.
How's that going with awesome. Even bringing more people and whatnot?
Yeah, I find these events so fruitful because, again, you just set a goal and a vision, right? And it's so important to do because it really brings people excitement, right? And I see that when we share about the 100K harvest, people get excited. And I just say, man, if anything that causes people to go out in the streets to share the gospel is just always a good thing, because, man, the only hope for this world is Jesus. And we have this, right? And so it's just been awesome to see our whole team at Love on Hamilton just fired up about this. And we're excited to have some blitz days where we're going to get a lot of people together in Hamilton. We actually, of course, one's going to be at Jesus Festival. So that's going to be one that we plan on getting a bunch of people and then hit the streets in that whole area. But there's a couple big events. There's one called like a art crawl that happens, I think, every month in Hamilton. So people go and set up a bunch of vendor booths and all these kind of areas. So we're just kind of trying to find some of these days where there's a lot of people gathering in one place. And then we're going to put together, you know, a blitz day where we can meet at a church, pray, and then go and let the Holy Spirit lead. So we've been seeing the fruit already, just kind of doing individual ministry. But we're excited for these big blitz days that we got coming up. So,
amen. And we're excited to partner with you guys and have you along for this. And we're just praying for to see more than 100,000 in the gospel this year.
Amen.
Thanks a lot, Daniel, for sharing your story and everything that's going on. You know, we're praying for you guys and happy to partner with you guys in this and everything that you're doing. So many things. They'll be listed here in the description, friends, of all the different websites, loveontheworld.com, Love on Hamilton. If you guys are in the Hamilton area, you can join up. What night do you guys go out?
Yeah, so actually, we've gone out two nights a week now. So every Tuesday and Wednesday at 7 p.m. And if you guys want to find the exact location, just go on the website. It'll all be there on the location. But yeah, every Tuesday and Wednesday, if you guys are free, Hamilton, come on down.
And that's Love on Hamilton website. Yes. To find those locations.
Exactly.
Yeah, now, I should know this, but I don't. I'm on Facebook with you, but is there a Love on Hamilton Facebook page, or you just advertise it through your own social media?
Yeah, no, there's, yeah, we got a Love on Hamilton Instagram, Facebook page, Facebook group. So just search it up anywhere, join the group, and feel free to, you know, reach out to me, even if you got any questions. And even if you're in the Kitchener area or any other area, there's likely a group that's going out on the streets. We're really connected with a lot of different evangelists. So no matter which area you're in, you know, and maybe you're the person to start a group in your city. So that might be you.
I'm really blowing it today. I probably followed you on the, I haven't had enough coffee. Hey, dude, so, or it I feel early, too comfortable maybe. With you. So I'm like, because I'm supposed to have all that, share all that.
I love it.
So good. Okay. So yeah, guys, all that stuff, we'll put that in the description of how you can connect and be part of that. And if you've never been on outreach and you're curious to go and share, I encourage you, if you're in the Hamilton area, Kitchener, to join these guys and go out and see it modeled. You can just hang out with them, no pressure put on you, and you'll see God move. It's absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. What God will do. Also, you are part of Burn Canada's Let Us Worship is coming. Sean Foyt's coming. You're going to be part. You and Katie are leading the evangelism team. I'm going to be there with the prayer team. So we're going to get to hang out on July 27th.
Oh, yeah.
Location's almost nailed down. So that's going to be great in the Toronto area. Really looking forward to that. It's going to be a great time. Yeah. And although I don't live in Toronto anymore, still have a heart to see Toronto just invaded with the Holy Spirit and people free.
Me too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Me too, man.
Yeah. Daniel, thanks again for being on the show. I just had one final question for you, bro. If as you're out on your outreach, in one of these outreaches, and you walk by a construction site and the Lord just tells you, hey, that guy is not 18. You see like what you lived, but you can also see in him, because sometimes you can see it. So whether the Spirit leads you or not, but sometimes you can see that depression or shame or whatever is going on, and you had an opportunity to encourage that kid. What would you say, dude?
Whew. That's a good question, man. Oh, man. Yeah, I would just say, man, God is always faithful. Just keep your eyes on him, even when times are so tough. And sometimes it's a longer season than you anticipate. And sometimes you got to go through a little bit more than you anticipate or ever expect. But man, it's just the story that God is building in your life. And through that story, he's going to impact so many lives around you. And so I would just tell that person just to keep your eyes on the Lord, keep seeking after him. And just don't get distracted either, you know, and also don't identify or play that victim mentality in whatever situation you're in, and just constantly speak life, right? And just know who you are in Christ and declare that every single day.
That's awesome, bro. That's interesting what you said too about, you know, the victim card, and sometimes I get thrown around in a really negative way in our media right now, but it's almost just as you said it, I just feel in my heart, it's like that's something that's coming from the enemy that's meant to crush you. Mm-hmm. It's not meant to get you attention or help. It's meant to spiritually push your face in the dirt and keep you down.
Yeah.
Some wise words there. Thanks again, brother.
I love it. Thank you so much for the opportunity, man. This was awesome.
Yeah. I can't wait till we hang out again real soon.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be awesome.
Take care, my friend.
You too.
Friends, what a great testimony. just perseverance, just pushing through, doing what you have to do for your family and to bring everything up. And even though in some darkness moments, just hanging on to the truth of his identity and the Lord, and then the desire to want to share that with people. So many things are happening out there. I just encourage you guys to get plugged in different areas. Check out the 100K Harvest. You can download that app, 100kharvest.ca. You can find where these things are happening all over the country, and you can be part of it. Thanks to executive producer Caden Carlton and Toddcast Media Relations Sheila Juddy. See you guys next week.